Alright, welcome to the Spirit of 76, episode 76.
Woohoo!
Geeks at the Square Table. I'm your host, Lawrence of America. With me today is
Jesse,
Gomer,
Joshua,
Draven,
Joss.
Awful lot of J's.
Wow. Yeah.
Gomer is
more so
G.
than normal.
Yeah. Gomer's a G.
Don't hurt yourself. We're you're honorary J today.
Jules is with a G.
Yeah.
Jules
with a G. We've gone with Stanley naming committee, all one letter.
Yeah. He's got a couple in there that aren't the same letter twice.
What are you talking about?
J. Jonah, Jesse,
Bobby
Peter
Drake?
Parker.
His whole Fantastic
Hank
Four
McCoy.
Is
Half
the
X-Men have different.
Yeah,
it's just Scott Summers.
Yeah,
in the original X-Men, Jean Grey.
Well,
Bobby
not
Drake.
Today though, because G's today are J's, so Jean Grey is.
Yeah. Well, my middle name is Gregory. If it makes sense.
There you go. Thank you, Josh.
But, now Peter Parker, I can't defend that one.
Well, yeah, obviously.
There's a couple out there of his original.
I don't know why comic book names are so
derivative.
Well, I don't know.
Alliterative.
Yeah. They use the same letter.
It's easy to remember.
It's easier to write.
Even the Sentry, who was created this millennium, has Robert Reynolds.
Yep.
Still the same.
Miles Morales.
Yeah, Miles Morales. Yeah. That's weird,
man. They
roll
off the tongue.
I don't know why they do that.
But not all of them were in the early years. Steve Rogers.
One of the
first.
That's
because his name is simple.
Bruce Wayne.
That's only five letters long. Unless you add
Clark
the S.
Kent is two different letters.
Unless you add the S.
It's no,
but it rolls off the same.
Yeah, it rolls off the same. Lois Lane, Lana Lang, they do a lot of that
the
crap.
The Superman, that is all.
Yeah.
Clark Kent.
Hey,
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy. I mean, all of Peter's
after
love interest.
After the 60s, though, they kind of. Into the 70s, they kind of, you know.
Tony
X-Men,
Stark.
They all, other than
Scott
Tony Summers.
Yeah, Tony Stark and Jennifer Walters.
Yeah, Happy.
No.
Well, Happy Hogan.
That's different. Yeah. Happy's not his real name.
No, Happy's not his real name.
Yeah, they just call him that.
Bruce Banner, David Banner.
Yeah.
Bruce Banner is a BB,
but not David.
He's a BB.
Well, okay,
we can't have a Bruce.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't have a Bruce.
So,
oh yeah,
Tony
you know
Stark
the story
was the comic titles Indestructible or Incredible Iron Man,
Invincible.
Invincible.
Iron Man. They've had other ones, but
Indestructible Iron Man. Was
Invincible, I think, is the most well known.
Yeah, that's the original.
It's like the Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, yeah.
Invincible
Iron Man.
Yeah.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Thor, but you know,
Indestructible Hulk.
I was going with ones that had the same
Incredible
letter.
Hulk, Invincible.
But
Iron
what are you
going
to do for H? The Hip Hulk. The Hip Hulk. The horrible
Hulk.
The
Holy Hulk?
The Holy Hulk. Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I would so read
that.
Like he's a monk.
I'd do that, yeah.
Trying to, like, find his, you know. He's probably done that.
Like, hey. He's done that.
The Horrific Hulk.
Yeah, that'd be a good book to read.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the Red Hulk, just the Green Hulk going batshit crazy.
Yeah. Green Hulk,
that book, it was called Savage Hulk, but they've done.
Yeah. Green Hulk doesn't go batshit crazy enough anymore.
I like Doc Green, though.
Yeah, I don't mind Doc Green, but hopefully after Secret Wars we get Hulk back.
I'm sure we will. Jonathan Hickman's got his fangs in the Hulk right now.
Bullshit. Hickman is done with Marvel, man. Hickman is done with Marvel.
No, I'm saying
Secret
right
Wars.
Now, that's why we have Doc Green.
No, we got Doc Green because Mark Waid decided to put a bullet in Banner's head. Remember that arc? And he was brain damaged,
yes,
and then it was the opposite of brain damage.
Yes.
It was super brain.
I never read the book, but I heard about that where he put a bullet in his head, and then he had to try and figure out a way to stay in the Hulk state perpetually so he wouldn't die.
No,
Maria Hill was pissing him off. And the Avengers had to maintain him being the Hulk because that was
so
the other
thing.
What
they do, just make him watch CNN?
Yeah, they
they made him watch Fox News. That's
they
what
gave him a losing lottery ticket scratch off. Damn it! Damn it!
But yeah, because the Hulk was repairing because the Hulk heals or whatever.
Yeah.
But they were kind of alluding to that, Hickman was, with his other universe Avengers where they had the banner with the switch in his head.
Yes.
That was weird.
And they use that.
They do use that, but not very well.
When he's getting surgery, they pull out of the other banner and they try to put it in our banner.
It don't work, though.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
It was pointless. why have the other banner with the remote control? Because Hickman's like, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
Put a remote control in that dude's brain.
And yeah, Mark Waid was like, that sounds cool. Let's try doing that too. Yeah. No.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So, the new Daredevil trailer came out. It looks awesome.
It looks awesome.
They mentioned Iron Man and the Avengers in it.
Yes,
that's kind of cool.
It looks really cool.
That was the biggest
What's
part
his name
I
looks
took.
Awesome as Kingpin. Oh, dude.
What, a new movie?
Spot on.
No. No,
or the TV series.
The Netflix show.
The Netflix series. Yeah.
They're not ready to do another movie.
It pretty much is just like a four-hour movie, though,
yeah,
if you take
yeah.
all... Because there's nobody going to say, oh, I'll watch the next episode next week. No, it's Netflix.
Yeah,
you're going to watch them all on a Saturday night. Yeah. It's going to be 3 in the morning. You're going to go, damn it, I'm going to fall asleep and not remember half of these episodes and watch it the next day.
Yeah,
that's how I binge anyway.
Yeah, that's... pretty much all.
It looks really good.
Speaking of Netflix and binging, Netflix recently put a show on there called The Unbreakable
Kimmy Schmidt.
Have you watched it?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
It's really funny.
It's about a few girls who get tricked by this southern preacher into thinking that the apocalypse has happened, and he keeps these girls down in his bunker for 15 years while they think, you know, fire's raining from heavens and shit.
So it's like that one movie with Brendan Fraser.
Blast from the Past or Blast of the Past, whatever it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw that.
Yeah,
I'm not up on my Brendan Fraser movies.
They build a... his parents build a bomb shelter.
In like the 50s.
In, yeah.
Oh, I did
50s.
See that.
Yeah.
I did see
plane crashes
that.
On their house and they think it's the start of World War III.
Oh, so they just never leave
so
their
bomb.
Yeah.
So
he
gets raised down
there. So they lock
there.
It for 50 years.
The difference is, though, Tina Fey created and writes for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and it's fucking hilarious.
I would prefer them to make a new take on Encino Man, personally. But,
I think we can leave that
I'm
where
not
it is.
Sure. Yeah. You can duplicate Pauly Shore's magnificent portrayal.
Yeah, I know. That's the only problem.
Or Sean Astin's.
Oh, dude, seriously? He's got a good point there.
Sean Astin played the most jealous little girl.
If they're going to redo anything, it would be that one where they're like rock stars and they go and hijack that...
Airheads.
That is a movie.
That yes,
movie.
It is.
That is a movie.
I love
they
Airheads.
They don't need to remake that.
Yeah, they really.
They don't.
Really need to leave that.
Also,
but
that's a movie.
The difference would be like, I just imagine them like being like deathcore bands. Seventh
oh, yeah,
they
would be
in the army.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, and plus
no,
they had
in the army now in Afghanistan,
yes.
right?
Yes,
that's terrible.
And plus they had Lemmy from Motorhead do a cameo in Airheads. You can't touch it if.
Yeah.
Lemmy's
well, I mean,
in there.
Lemmy
they
could
have
do a cameo again because he's still kicking.
Oh, yeah. Lemmy Kilmister is still kicking ass.
He still didn't have a damn rep. Eat that damn thing off his face.
What?
That's all he needs. Why does he just go down to an alley, put some peanut butter on that damn thing on his face, and have a rat gnaw it off?
No, because
it's disgusting. It has
ass.
Become sort of
character.
Like
his trademark.
For God's
trademark.
Sakes, people
death
would
version
recognize
of Lemmy in regular show has the damn thing in the skull.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
It is.
Pretty great.
I forgot.
Yeah, but
I
how would
say.
You even redo Airheads?
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't redo Airheads.
Yeah, because hardly anyone really listens to the radio
Nobody
anymore.
Listens
they
to
they listen to XM satellite
That's
radio.
What they do. They take over
yeah,
YouTube or something.
Yeah. They take over YouTube. How would you even
put
do
everyone
that?
Else's stuff
People
down
are stupid. People don't
their
know.
Videos on
even back when they did Airheads, I don't think there were actual DJs spinning records. They just pushed a button on a computer and said, okay, the computer told me that this is the song coming next on Top 40. You'll hear the song again in 8 minutes.
Actually,
well, back in the day,
when they did Airheads, was that early 90s?
It
was like early 90s.
Was, so the 90s
is
such a blur.
Too.
Yeah, it was a hilarious premise.
Alternative station is becoming an easy listening station.
Yeah, but...
It was
like,
kind of the 90s.
Yeah, but radio back then, they didn't really have, you know, computer setups where everything was just on a big list. They still used 8-track tapes to play the songs.
In the 90s...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they used to do
well,
it.
Well, no, they
in
had
the,
CDs,
in the 8-track
they had records.
No, they still...
They had tapes as well.
They still had reel-to-reel. I mean, the MP3 wasn't invented in 94.
It was like...
Is that
it was like almost late 90s, early 2000s.
They still had
wasn't invented until the late 90s.
Well, they still had music on computers in digital format.
But it was
but
WAV
it
was file. And
it
huge.
It was,
WAV
yeah.
files are huge files.
Yeah.
I
couldn't have played that.
Yeah,
Airheads,
you need a giant server farm.
Essentially, that's what a CD is
Air,
a series of WAV files.
Airheads definitely did see the writing on the wall with the fall of the...
of rock and roll.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean...
Of the radio.
Rock and roll was dead way before the 90s, dude.
Yeah,
but...
I could argue.
Yeah, we could argue that point all day.
Because you guys were born in the 90s. Of course you could fucking argue.
I was born in the 80s.
80s and... Yeah, I was born in the 80s too. But,
Well, I mean... Yeah, I was born in 81. Not necessarily born, but I mean, you had the music... Your main musical...
That's
thing was pretty much in the 90s.
Not really.
You know what?
But...
What?
You don't want to talk about music with these guys? Seriously?
Hell, I still listen to music from the 50s and 60s.
I know.
Oh, but yeah, as soon as Walking Dead starts...
All right. Oh, yeah, that is fine. News. I'll sum up. If you want to start a music fight, all it has to do is all the problems in the world with music all are root of the Beatles.
I can agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that. But you can take some good things. There are some good things.
Jesse's trying to figure out a way to argue this.
Every pop band since has been then trying to replicate the success of the Beatles.
Okay, I was wondering, expound on it. I don't know which part you're giving
standard of success in music.
But you have to seem bigger than you are in music to be bigger than you are in music.
New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, all those bands.
You don't
want
to go to boy bands with me. I'm an expert when it comes to boy bands.
People trying to replicate the Beatles.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Yeah.
Because I remember how Ringo used to dance.
Yeah, like no one remembers how he drums.
But drumming is his madness.
He did that backwards.
The last song of their entire career, he has one solo in it.
Oh, and they're all finally like, all right, Ringo.
All right, Ringo.
Go ahead.
Just like when they let him write Octopus Gar.
That's it. That's all he does in that entire song.
All right, can we talk about comics now?
A snare and a hi-hat. Good for him.
I want to talk about more music.
What someone brought up, and I hate The Walking Dead, but its spinoff has just been greenlit for two seasons.
Two seasons, which is pretty much unheard of.
What's the spinoff?
It's the spinoff on the West Coast.
A spinoff is
on the West Coast.
Okay.
One show
is
going to
be Stand and Deliver with zombies.
What?
Do you remember?
Seriously? Jules is losing it right now.
Laverne and Shirley was actually a spinoff of Happy Days.
That's good.
Happy Days had like five spinoffs.
It did, man. It was
Star Trek's
great.
Got quite
all right, all right.
It
so
had Joni and Chachi, man.
All right, so the spinoff
DS9 and Chachi, Voyager dude. Are by standard than actual.
Dude, Joni loves
it's
Chachi.
It's gonna be a.
Oh, dude, I love that. I love Joni. It's
Scott Baio.
Leading
a group of people out of the zombie apocalypse.
Remember that movie where he gets telekinetic powers?
All the characters from Stand and Deliver.
I don't remember. It's like a Family Guy.
The zombie apocalypse.
They take the AP
at
calculus
least from
test
the blood
on the way.
Yes. Yeah.
They take AP calculus on the way. Oh, that's great.
And make sure
that's what direct trajectory do you need to get this bullet to ricochet through that zombie's head?
I just don't know what else you can do. Teams can you touch on in zombie apocalypse? A high rise.
No,
like
no,
a building.
No.
Well, that would be interesting.
Beach. Gonna be on the beach.
Well, that's even shittier because you only get zombies on three sides.
Gonna be on a boat.
And then also,
that's even more scary.
You're gonna try to get on a boat and get in the middle of the ocean and fuck it, that's it, no zombies.
Well, if they do the high rise thing,
hey,
if they're gonna do the high rise thing, it's gonna be like that podcast that I listen to about the zombie apocalypse.
What is that called?
Still alive in here?
Yeah, still alive.
And there's
see, I haven't listened to that.
That's what it is. It's three army guys. They wind up finding a whole bunch of people, and they go live in a skyrise apartment complex and try and, you know, outfit it to, you know, be protected.
It'd be pretty easy to do that if you could find some way to get in and out of the tower without ruining
what's
going to
happen.
Getting in and out of the tower.
Well, the smart thing that they did in that series is when they first got into the building, you know, they cleared as much as they could, and... Because the water was still running in the city, they decided to run every sink and every bathtub after they plugged them up and run it out until they filled all of them with water, so that way they'd still have fresh water.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a smart idea.
Okay.
And then they started building a garden on the roof.
That is a good idea.
That is not fresh water.
But you have to boil it.
Well, boil it.
No,
yeah,
but
it's still water.
But what I'm that's saying not... is fresh water is running water.
Yeah, well, you know what he said. Well, or
you know what
or
I mean.
Like sealed getting... water. Sealed water.
Potable water.
Yeah, I think it's potable. Potable is an awesome word, though.
Yeah.
Look.
I should open up a company. Potable products.
Potable water.
Smart. Just rotating cast, just like the West Coast. Just whatever's cool at the time gets to be on the show, and then you die.
Like a Twilight Zone.
Exactly.
I'm cool with West Coast
Avengers. Like my, no, please don't.
I want. That, let's make it the West Coast Avengers.
No, I would watch that.
I'm not a fan.
That should be the next Netflix show.
I'm not a fan of West them Coast making Avengers. A new show based on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I think we already have one. I don't think the market can take it.
Now,
I think what you're going to do is dilute the zombie TV show market, and then The Walking Dead, there's a big chance, could suffer from this other show. Not that AMC cares. They're still cashing checks.
Now,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they're suffering as it is. I mean
but here's
not ratings-wise, though.
But yeah, like but Gomer, here's the flip side of
that. That's what they give a shit about. That's all AMC cares about.
I mean, admittedly, yeah.
Well, that's who's green-lighting the other show, though. That's all I'm saying. Because we don't really know anything about it.
It's still the ratings, but
Kirkman just doesn't want to give Tony Moore any more money.
Yeah, but
he is so sick of sharing all the money with Tony Moore.
Well, look, here's the
thing. It's just that all these characters are Robert Kirkman created for this new show. He doesn't have to share a check with Tony Moore anymore because Rick
there'll be another lawsuit.
Well, I'm sure there will.
Well, look, here's the flip side to that argument. They very well could be greenlighting this spinoff as a way to gradually taper off the original cast of The Walking Dead and then just move to this one.
No, they won't do that.
Well, I didn't say they would. No, I'm just saying they could.
AMC wants year-round zombie shows.
They want money year-round.
They want something, a new episode.
So instead of The Walking Dead taking a break with the main cast, they could do this West Coast version while the main cast is on break.
It's kind of like the whole like, CSI kind of thing.
They take a break when the show's on.
Yeah,
and then they film when it's not on.
Yeah, they're doing the CSI thing.
They're doing the CSI thing. Really? We're going to have the Walking Dead Canada next, right?
Exactly.
Walking Dead New Mexico.
I would watch Walking Dead Europe.
28 days later, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I would.
They got the running zombies there.
Hey, I would.
Those aren't zombies.
They're stylish. They're not actually zombies.
You know, it'd be a really good spinoff. I just now thought of it. Walking Dead Australia. Think about Aboriginal zombies.
Oh, that's
in the outback.
I'd be cool with that.
All you gotta do is not go outside.
No, see,
that'd be awesome.
Where the Walking Dead?
That's all Australia is outside. Stone.
Where they should obviously go to be away from zombies is go to like Kansas or one of those places where like
there's just nobody lives.
There's nobody there. There.
Montana.
But the downside is tornadoes.
It's true.
Downside is tornadoes. Tornadoes or zombies? They already got a tornado just the other week.
They got hit by a tornado.
Again, Tornado Alley.
Good point.
Now look,
then we can make our spin-off movie of Sharknado and Walking Dead.
Zombie-nado.
Yeah, they already did Zombie-nado's done.
Yeah,
damn.
Sci-Fi Channel. They did that in Zombie Nation.
It's a Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, they did that in Zombie Nation already. They can't do it again.
Zombie-nado. It was an episode of Zombie Nation.
Now I will say this:
there was a zombie tornado.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was pretty slick. But here's the thing: in Zombie Nation, when they came up over the rise of a hill, they saw it and. For as long as the eye could see all the way to the horizon, it wasn't nothing but a giant, super mega herd of zombies. It was like a million.
Flying, walking.
It was a million zombies strong with a giant tornado dust storm coming in right behind them, pushing them forward even harder.
Did you see the zombies get?
Yes, zombies were flying. I just watched that episode, man.
And then, like on top of it, like when they finally were starting to get let down to the ground, it wasn't like a gradual thing. They were just going head first, like fucking rockets into the pavement.
Awesome. Dude, that's so neat.
Walking Dead is because they see the money that is having full universes.
Yeah, I mean, hell, they're coming
out
with iZombie on WB.
They see DC's television
Flash,
universe.
Green and Arrow
moving into a third show. The Atom.
It's a great thing about that. All they're doing is taking people they already have under contract and putting them under a new contract.
Yes.
It's a great idea. WB's got some of the best accountants, man.
Yes. They must.
Whatever.
It is
what did I call it?
WB, CW, whatever.
It's owned by one of them.
UPN. Yeah. I didn't call it UPN.
Yeah, UPN.
It used to be UPN as
Voyager.
Well.
Yeah, yeah, Star Trek Voyager.
And DS9. They were both on UPN.
UPN.
They were both UPN's most successful television series.
As soon as they went off,
well,
so
that's because
UPN.
So did UPN. UPN,
United Paramount
Network, was the Star Trek channel when it first started.
Yeah. Now, but here's the thing.
Well, there was no Netflix then.
Yeah.
So it was cool to watch Star Trek 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Have a channel. You know?
It was awesome.
Yeah. Now, you see, here is the thing, though, with the zombie thing. Roger Ma, who writes the zombie combat manual, and then Max Brooks, who wrote the zombie survival guide, they both...
They both
kind of agree that if the zombie apocalypse does happen, one of the best ideas that you can do is either go as far north
because of the cold,
it slows them down.
Yeah.
Or you know, as far south towards the Antarctic Circle, you know, towards Antarctica.
Well, no, I don't.
But I mean,
okay. Here's the problem with that logic:
you don't get food.
No, but you can't. No, you can hunt.
Yeah.
Partially, but you should not go to Greenland.
Without modern society, I don't want to live in the Arctic tundra. Period.
It's hard. Well, I know it's hard, but if you got zombies swarming you, that's the best place to slow them down.
I like the high-rise
Can we at least agree to that?
Definitely, the cold will definitely slow them down.
The
thing about it is humans are not immune to the horrors of cold.
So do you think that's why Barney Fife always had the one bullet?
He was afraid of zombies. And not even then. He was afraid of himself turning into a zombie.
Yeah. So we'd rather just...
Now, anyone who is listening to this, who is taking the idea about, you know, moving to anywhere cold in case the zombie apocalypse does happen, stay the fuck out of Greenland, because those glaciers that are calving off, like the size of buildings, those things will crush you, so stay away from Greenland.
Now, I've heard.
Here's your natural safety warning for the year.
It's
not
Zombie Nation, it's Z Nation.
Oh, Z Nation.
Zombie Nation is a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
So I want to talk about something really terrible that got announced, and you take with it what you will, but I personally hated the sequel, but they just greenlit Tron 3.
Yes.
All right. The first Tron movie was a revolution. It deserved a sequel. Great. The sequel was not that.
The second one was
loved it.
That definitely was a revolution.
The soundtrack was dope.
Daft Punk doing the soundtrack. They couldn't have gotten a better band to do it.
As a giant.
Like, Daft Punk music video. It's visually appealing.
Yeah, that song they were playing in the club during the fight scene, I have that on my phone. I listen to that all the time.
If you look at Tron Legacy as the best Daft Punk music video
ever. It had an awesome
light bike scene. My thing, when you watch the Tron sequel, you're sitting down agreeing to ruin a small part of your childhood.
It's just like...
No.
The prequel trilogy had the best lightsaber battles.
Light cycle battles.
Light cycles.
I know, I'm talking about Star Wars.
Okay.
The prequel trilogy was cool looking.
Yes.
But it is not as good as what you perceive the original.
The Tron Legacy is very much better looking.
Yes.
But it's a shit story.
But I like it.
Although it had what's her name in it.
Olivia Wilde.
I'll talk about what's her name all the time.
Yeah, Olivia Wilde.
She's great. Yeah. I'm just going to keep calling her what's her name.
Young Cora. CG. Jeff Bridges was terrible.
It was Olivia Wilde.
No, it was not Olivia Munn. No, it was Olivia Wilde, but she was dark haired.
She played Cora. But here's the thing, though. She's also the woman, for those of her who don't know, she plays the girl who's brought back from the dead in the Lazarus Effect, the movie that's out right now.
And she played 13 in House, of course.
I am excited that Disney has learned their lesson and we will finally get the Tron movie we deserve.
I still think it was a great movie, but it's possible. That's me.
No, it wasn't terrible.
Not the Tron movie we need, but the Tron movie we deserve.
I think that Tron Legacy was the one we needed. I think they have to say, hey, look what we can do, but look what we didn't.
I think that's the one we deserved.
I think they did a great job with
it. Yeah, assholes, you want a sequel? Here it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I think they did a great job with the Tron Revolution cartoon series or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that.
I thought it was actually pretty good.
The animation was neat.
Bruce Boxleitner was still playing, was doing Tron's voiceover, so it was pretty congruent.
Did anyone play that god-awful game, though?
I love that game.
The wired, like the old one?
No, the old one
was the shit.
Tron Evolution.
It was so good.
Yeah, whatever the new one, it was on 360.
I thought it was great. I liked it.
And then they made a really, really...
I mean, it had a couple glitches, but short of that, it was still a good game.
Based around more just the like the fighting aspects, like the throwing, like
that was the coolest part of that movie was like the fighting on all those levels, the platforms. That was neat.
And the gravity reversal.
Well, that whole thing,
I mean, the whole cinematography of it was just
it was very grandiose.
Like it had dark darks and vivid colors.
Yeah.
Plus, the way they did the outlay of the city was really cool.
Yeah.
And the bridge, especially. That bridge
was awesome.
I just don't
know, where do you go for a third one? Because at the end of that one, they pretty much destroy everything.
Well, no, they didn't destroy everything. They just destroyed the giant light ship.
Nothing makes up for a bad story.
But the light ship was the in. It was the I.O. port. That was the way you got in and out of the system. If they destroy that, then they'll have to repair the system.
No, I'm not talking about the I.O. port. I'm talking about that freighter ship. That freighter ship that Clue had brought there,
we used that to get everybody out.
Exactly.
But that's what I mean. I think when they destroyed that, and then that was Cora and Homeboy were able to get out.
Yeah, that was just a building.
But I think they sort of suggested that the whole system was then shut down. I don't know.
I saw it when it came out.
Well, remember,
my kid freaking loves it, dude.
20-year-old server. That thing's got thrown out in the trash.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Now that
this thing running DOS?
Windows 0.1.
All right, but look, Commodore 64.
But look, here's what you have to wonder.
RAM.
Here's what you have to wonder. If they're making the third Tron movie, are they going to pick it up where the second one left off, where, you know, Flynn brings Cora into our world,
and then
starts trying to use her DNA to start doing medicine, that kind of a thing, like what they were talking about.
But that wasn't Flynn, though. That was Flynn's kid.
That's it. That's all I thought.
Flynn's kid.
All right, Sam Flynn.
But no, but Flynn's kid wasn't... His name was Flynn, you're right. But Flynn's kid, not the Flynn.
Sam Flynn.
Yeah.
But he was Flynn. Sam's... Sam was not as computer savvy as his dad was.
Well,
he was, but there was no way he was going to go in there and program sentient computer programs the way his dad did. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, now Sam's going to make sentient computer programs. That was just weird.
Yeah.
First of all, it was weird in Legacy. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's all these smart computer programs walking around now. They just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, isomorphic.
How the hell does that happen?
Yeah, isomorph
or whatever the hell they call them.
Isomorphic algorithms.
As hot as what's her name is.
Olivia Wilde. Yeah.
No, that's what
I was not a fan.
I didn't enjoy this. Agree to disagree.
It was very cool looking.
Did we see it together?
All I'm hearing is that if you see this movie, it would be much better on hallucinogenic substances.
Yes. All right.
Not that we
encourage everything. Isn't everything, though?
No.
Now, I will say this as a...
I've had better experiences with hallucinogenic substances.
Now, between me and you, because I'm the motorcycle nerd, when they originally did the light cycle showing up and it showed like every little piece coming to existence and then coming to a full bike, I thought that was a great, you know, sequence.
Yeah.
I mean, just from a motorcycle perspective, because
they built it from the inside out. They showed its guts, its gear guts, which doesn't make any sense because a light cycle doesn't really need gear guts.
I know, but it was cool from a motorcycle standpoint.
Cool.
I like that.
It was cool.
Now, they did start selling those bikes on a very limited edition. It was like $60,000 or $80,000 for that bike.
Oh, I thought you meant the models. The they do sell the actual light bikes.
And they even used them in the...
Jar Jar Binks sucks ass.
Okay, so we're talking about light cycles.
Lightsabers and light cycles
and Trons and I'm actually kind of bored.
Powers episode one debut.
I didn't
good
watch
for Brian
it.
Michael Bendis.
I put it on my on our website outrageeker.com, the first episode. Check it out there. But I did not watch it.
I'm just saying it's a big step for.
For who?
For
the executive producer of half of Marvel's movies.
All right, now what?
Brian Michael Bendis. Give me a break. Yeah, he needs the extra change from Powers.
What did you say about Brian Michael Bendis?
All right, now Jules, what
are you
talking about?
My point is, it's a step other than
there's
the Walking
a comic
Dead.
Book.
We haven't
let's,
had it.
Let's
in
fill Josh yet. In on this. Okay. There's a comic book called Powers, which was originally a creator-owned book. I think it still
it's
is.
It's still creator-owned. He still
but
right.
It was an Image. Now it's at Icon, which is a Marvel imprint.
Yeah.
It's about a world full of superpowered individuals, and it follows the life of two beat cops, and their beat is superpowered cops. Yes. Or superpowered
they used
people.
They both used to be superheroes, and they retired.
And they and now there's a show
so
of
it's
it.
It's an offshoot of Heroes?
No, Heroes
is
actually
too.
Pretty much... Okay. There were a lot of elements of Heroes taken
from
Powers.
Powers was pre-Heroes.
Yes.
There was one alternate timeline.
And it all starts with
Heroes,
this...
That's exactly right. That whole timeline seems like a Powers issue, man.
Yes.
All right.
Powers follows two cops following the death of... Retro Girl is what
her name
was. And the guy who is the main character was basically Superman in their universe. And Retro Girl was a friend of his. And the first plot line followed this, like, cop noir story about two ex-superheroes investigating the
Most of the mystery is what's dude's deal. He did have powers and he didn't. And in the comic they kind of allude to that but don't let you in on it.
Yeah, they don't let you in on it.
And then by the end of the book you're like, oh, this guy's got all these mysteries around him. But then you find out his new partner has all the mysteries around her. And that's the first arc.
Yeah.
Have they gotten to that in the first issue? Or the first episode? No. It'll be the first whole season.
It'll
be
the
first
whole season. It'll be the first arc.
Brian Michael Bendis needs no more of my money.
No. But Mark Millar does?
What am I buying from Mark Millar?
Did you go see Kingsman?
No, I didn't.
I did.
I think I'm about to go see
it. Really good.
It's really good. It's really good.
Wanted was really good, and I hated the comic.
Yeah.
Wanted was a really cool movie, and I hated the comic.
Yeah, the comic book's terrible, though.
Yeah.
They have almost nothing to do with each other, except for the names of the characters.
Well, if the comic was bad, then I can tell you this much. The game wasn't much better.
Wanted?
Yeah. They made a Wanted game.
How do you curve a bullet in that?
They did it. No, but you had to No, seriously, like
Heart right.
No, like the arc trajectory would come onto the screen where you could see it, and you could control the arc until you were able to hit the enemy.
I like the Wanted movie. I want to go see the Kingsman movie.
Yes.
But no, I'm not giving Mark Millar any more of my money.
No,
either.
I'm not giving Mark Millar any more of my money. Jupiter's Legacy just needs to finish. Enough.
So you're going to keep giving money until...
This is the last issue, but then it's going to start again. Jupiter or something else.
Yes, exactly my point.
Yeah.
Jupiter
it took forever to come out. It took 2 years to give me 5 issues.
I think it's Jupiter's Legacy is the follow-up.
Well, Jupiter's Ascending the movie.
No, totally different.
Oh, okay.
That's the Wachowskis. This is
okay.
An even weirder guy, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Millar is a terrible person. Yeah.
The Wachowski brothers?
All right,
well, siblings.
All right, well, you know what? Speaking of comics that are taking a long time to come out like that, Lady Mechanica, I read the double issues, zero and one. Joe Benitez and, was it Steigerwald?
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, all right. The artwork, I think, is exceptional. I think it's really great.
Yeah.
And, like, from the double issue of zero and one, that's the only one I've read. I have two and three, and then four. I haven't read those yet. But so far, I like where the story is going. I kind of like how they've got it set up. I like it.
Steampunk.
Yeah, it's a steampunk. And I don't normally read a lot of steampunk all the time. I occasionally like reading steampunk something. Yeah. Just because I like steampunk a little bit, you know, every now and again.
My point with Power is...
Oh, jeez.
No. You agree with this.
It's about how you...
And you hear about... I'm sure you've heard about Valiant. Yeah. It's a step in the right direction for...
Let's talk about Valiant.
Yeah, I want to talk... That was...
Do it. Segway. My point was
that third-party comic books are getting bigger besides Walking Dead.
Why?
Because it's...
Do you think it's because of Walking Dead, or do you think it's because of the popularity of Marvel's and DC's
Here's what happens with Hollywood. They're very predictable.
Yeah.
Whenever a book hits big as a movie, then immediately you get this glut of... Yeah, you know, books of the same genre being converted into movies.
Yeah, because young adult novels have been doing that a lot lately.
But it got big with the Twilight movies,
and then they came out with City of Bones.
They've been doing it for 20 years. Back to Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, Harry Potter.
Spider-Man. There's
20 years they've been doing this shit.
That like Valiant's. They're now in talks.
Valiant Entertainment. No, they're not in talks. They have a deal with BMG Entertainment out of China for a... 9-figure movie, TV, entertainment deal. Valiant Comics does Ninjak, Unity, Manowar,
Bloodshot,
Rye.
What's all those little mutant kids? Not Harbinger.
Harbinger.
They got a bunch of mutant kids.
Divinity? Not Divinity. That's
maybe it's Unity.
Well, look, the whole reason why I think independents are becoming a lot bigger and a lot more wantable to readers is just because it's a takeaway from the normalcy of DC and Marvel, and it's something new for them to read.
I don't think so.
Because some of it's just, you know, regurgitated stuff from DC and Marvel, you know. It's like, oh, it's the same old character.
There are no new stories, man.
But there's
different ways of telling the story.
But there's new stories in the format.
Yeah.
In what?
In
comics?
Yeah, like
there's stuff besides superhero shit.
Yeah.
Just because that's what all Marvel and DC does, don't pigeonhole them as being, you know, something that they're not. You can pigeonhole them as capes and tights. Because that's what they are.
Yeah.
But you can't say, Image is doing sci-fi so much better. Yeah, because Marvel's been doing sci-fi for 70 years.
Yeah,
they don't have any new stories.
All that, there's not a bigger sci-fi book than Avengers right now.
Dude, exactly.
It's the most sci-fi book you can buy.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, I think you're... it's the Avengers. I'm just mainly saying that, like, indies have a better propensity because, like, say, Image or... Well, I guess imprints as well.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Where it's like they will try something that's a bit that's might only really work for like 8 issues.
They
and,
can
because they can. But
yeah, Image takes the chances on a horror book called Witches, which is totally different than anything. They have one of the top 10 writers.
Yeah.
In the industry, doing it. Yeah. So where's the risk?
No, but every
there
once
is
in
no
while.
Risk.
Yeah, no. A lot of the especially newer
you know,
books,
they're taking a there's chance no risk. On books. They're taking a chance with these guys going, hey, do what you want.
But there's also other...
I don't think that's the case.
Robert,
yes, they are telling them to go ahead and do what they want, but Image has always done that. The difference is Marvel and DC say, no, you can't do anything you want.
Yes.
I think the idea of comics, especially indie publishers, like we were saying, is there is more freedom because they are creator-driven. That's my point. The reason Witches is popular is not because it's a horror book. It's because Scott Snyder's writing it.
Yes.
It happens to be good, but it wouldn't have been as popular without Scott Snyder writing it. Take a book like... Michael Lark drawn book? Lazarus.
Lazarus
is on par with Saga.
Yes.
As in its quality. The reason it doesn't sell as well is because Brian K. Vaughan is not writing it. Everybody knows who Brian K. Vaughan is. Yes.
Yeah, so. But I mean...
But, and in all fairness, too, Robert Kirkman, love him to death. Not really.
Yeah, you do. You do. You
I
love
did.
He's a teddy bear.
But, yeah, but you know how I got into before I picked up any of his independent stuff?
Marvel.
I read his Ultimate X-Men, and it was good at the time.
I didn't like it. I read his Ant-Man and liked it.
And I liked his Ant-Man.
But he already had Invincible out by then.
Yeah,
right,
at that point.
Which is why I went to Ultimate X-Men. He wasn't touching. Walking Dead wasn't out when he was doing Ultimate X-Men.
A thing about independent creators... You get your start in an independent book, same way Bendis did, writing all that shit he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then
Jinx,
you move
Jinx, Fire.
I'm gonna say Jeff Lemire.
All of them.
Yeah, especially.
Everybody started with an indie book, and then you get popular.
And then they pull
when you,
you
write
over.
For Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you go back to indie where you'll actually make money.
Yeah, totally.
That's how you do it. Scott Snyder is making so much more money off Witches than he is Batman. Yeah. Just off comic sales.
Look at Hickman.
Because DC takes
nobody
exactly.
Cared about Nightly News.
And New Avengers and shit isn't making him any money. He's making all of his money off East of West and what's that other damn Manhattan Project?
He's got a nice check from Marvel to write Avengers and New Avengers.
But
no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying compared to the number. He's writing three books a month. For Avengers and New Avengers.
Yes.
I guarantee you he's making more money off the one Manhattan Projects book a month. Or even East to West.
Because they sell out.
Because they sell.
They go to second and third printings.
Yeah.
God sakes.
And he makes more money on the overhead.
Yeah.
DC and Marvel take more money.
East of West 1. There's a fifth printing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And that's what I mean. Marvel and DC take more money.
Yeah, I got
but that's how you get known.
Yeah.
Nobody would know who Dan's freaking slot was if he wasn't writing Spider-Man. Nobody.
No, and now we all know and hate him.
Now we all know and hate him. But I guarantee you, his next indie book will get a lot of press.
I won't read it.
I mean,
I will. I love Dan Slott.
It might be good.
Hey, man,
I'm just saying.
The initiative
like
was one of the best parts of the Civil
good.
War was his initiative book.
Yeah,
you know,
fair
you
enough.
Loved that book.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then he took a big old shit.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, and you look. All right, look at Hickman back when he first got known. Pax Romana, Nightly News, all that shit. What was going on at Marvel then, the heroic age?
Yeah.
Imagine if they would have said, okay, we want Jonathan Hickman
and you know
now
what?
For the heroic age.
Where they pulled him was Secret Warriors.
Yeah. They,
that,
and that's what I'm saying. They put these new creators on these just on these shit books, and it's up to the creator to make them worthwhile.
Yeah.
But you have to do it within the walled garden that is Marvel or DC. Sure, you can work on Secret Warriors as long as editorial approves it.
Yeah.
That's difficult. That's got to be just a pain in the ass to create under those things. But that's the only way you can get popular, man.
And
it's almost impossible to get popular
and
being an indie
book
writer.
You write as a of one of the big two. If it gets popular, they'll pull you off that book and put you on something big.
Yeah.
Look at Hickman was writing Ultimates and Fantastic Four.
And they're like, no, we want you for Avengers
he
next
was
year.
His Fantastic Four and Ultimates outsold Bendis' Avengers at the time.
Well,
and
Avengers
like,
was it was a decade long run for him on Avengers. It was time
for him
to leave, dude. It was time for him to leave.
And so they were like, oh, the Ultimates just outsold Avengers. Let's take that guy and let's put him on the Avengers.
It's just so weird to me. And then Hickman's dying in the dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have three independents going. I guarantee you by the end of this year he'll have at least one more independent book, and he's not going to do anything else at Marvel.
I highly doubt
Once Secret Wars is done and he wraps his run up, he's done for at least 8 months, dude.
I bet you anything that's the reason.
San Diego Comic Con is this year.
Yes.
He'll be there this year talking about Secret Wars. Next year he'll be there talking about his next project.
Marvel's not going to San Diego.
Marvel Studios is not going. The comics are going.
That's right.
Yeah, the comics are dead. They have to. They got too much going on. Yeah. The thing about Marvel, and we could talk about that. It was pretty big news.
But you know what I bet?
That Marvel Studios is not going to show up at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, what is their reasoning
behind
it? Well,
if you look at the timing, look at the timing. They don't have anything coming out.
Ant-Man and Avengers?
But not in the window that San Diego Comic Con is a good promotional window for.
Netflix
is done. Netflix. Daredevil will be on and over by the time San Diego comes around.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing for them
really
to talk about.
Three other shows coming out this year that they got.
Not
hype
this
up
year.
For. No, isn't Power Man and Jessica Jones supposed to debut at the end of this year?
Jessica Jones is supposed to premiere early next year. Supposed to wrap up filming by the end of this year.
I thought it was supposed to debut in Christmas.
But anyway, Marvel Studios not going makes sense.
No,
but the as far as the Marvel and their comics go, they haven't had the entire House of Ideas of San Diego in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think it's
going to
be Bendis, Hickman, Peter David, everybody is going to show up to promote Secret Wars, because Secret Wars will be like 3 issues in by then, and then they'll be starting to promote what comes next.
Now, by the way, I do think, because talking about bringing the Fantastic Four, obviously
they are coming back. They will.
Yeah, I bet you Hickman will take that. I bet you.
I don't want him on a property he's already done. I'd like to see Hickman take over an X-Men book or two.
That would be sick.
Start over from scratch.
He loves Reed Richards too much to not get to start over with them.
Good. I want him out of his comfort zone. If he's comfortable with the Avengers, if he's comfortable with Reed Richards, he doesn't need to touch them. He needs to do something different.
His X-Men, he would be the...
I wouldn't mind him on a Doc Strange book.
He would be a great Doc Strange writer. He writes Doc Strange now, and it's the best Doc Strange I've had since Brian K. Vaughan Doc Strange.
That Marco Rudy book, the annual. Jesus, so
dude,
good.
Dude, everything, all of his so Doc good. Strange dialogue with the Black Priest.
But he only brought Doc Strange in for that one arc.
Yeah.
After the annual.
But I would love to see a Doc Strange
ending
book.
That Justice League. Yeah.
Well, there's a Doc Strange book out now, isn't there?
No, there isn't.
Oh, that's right. There's not.
There's not.
You got my hopes up. I was like, I'm
sorry. Sorry.
No.
Not
actually,
cry.
If they're going to reboot the X-Men, the only person who could keep up with how convoluted they are would be him to reboot them. Hickman could reboot the X-Men. I'd read
that
out of that book.
If you look at
George Martin,
who historically is the X-Men writer, historically? Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
I think Hickman, you could almost make comparisons to Chris Claremont as being so very different from everybody else who's currently writing books.
And Hickman and Chris Claremont have one thing in common. They love lots of characters.
Yeah.
Lots of various characters.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Hickman's FF run at the time that made it so very different is
the Future Foundation.
Yeah. He had tons of characters.
And then
every
he brought
issue
Spider-Man
felt super
in.
Different.
And then he brought Spidey in. I think Hickman on
X-Men would be
X-Men,
primo.
But not until next year. Not until late.
That would be
next
the
year.
Biggest X-Men cast.
He's already said he's taking a break.
Yeah.
From Marvel for a while.
But I doubt it's very long.
Like, guys, can I get y'all's opinion on
I don't
something?
Think he's getting as big of a paycheck from Marvel as he's getting from
he gets paid as an editor,
from Indie.
You know that, right?
He's not showed up on credentials.
No, he's not. But if you ask any of the Marvel writers right now, they say they can't do... Bendis and Kieran Gillen have said they can't do anything without asking him first.
Well, that's because of Secret Wars, though.
Yeah.
That's
been that way since before Infinity.
Yeah, well, because of Secret Wars.
Because
he was ending everything. Because he's ending everything.
Yes. And he's been ending everything for the last 3 years.
I'm about done with his shit.
No, you're not. You know
I'm ready for Secret Wars to be.
I am too.
I am ready
for
it to be.
The last 4 issues of Avengers and New Avengers have had me at the edge of my seat.
They've been good, but the last couple issues have... It's like he's tying up loose ends.
The whole Yellow Jacket coming back was awesome.
That whole shit seemed like a WWE, a bad episode of Monday Night Raw. Like, all right, we know the Celestials are the big badasses, but look how badass these Beyonders are. And they come in and kick the dude with the championship in the nuts, take him out, and boom. Oh, now the Beyonders are the badasses. Last issue, again, it seemed like he was just tying up loose ends, man. Oh, the galaxy.
He pulled the new Universal Gods.
He did that forever ago.
I know, and it was cool to see. It hasn't been touched on in a minute. Him ending the Celestials needed to happen.
He does that way too much, too. What? You're like, all right, here's Avengers number 16. Here's a half a page of a guy you're going to love, but you're not going to see him again until Avengers number 30. I hate that. I hate that.
I like
tell a fucking story, dude.
I like the idea that probably now we know for sure Beyonder is Alarabadabababa.
I think that's cool. It is Alarabadabababa.
No, it's got a really weird name. Yeah. It's totally unnecessary to call that character.
I say it in Black Swan's voice.
Yeah.
Which for me is
who do you hear when you see his black?
I can picture her face. I can't remember. Wasn't it Superman's mom in the last movie? Diane Lane.
Yeah, Diane Lane.
That's the voice I hear in Black Swan. Really? Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Diane Lane?
I know.
That's not who I hear at all.
That's weird.
Who do I hear?
It's weird. I hear Diane Lane's voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Gunner, can I get your opinion on something?
Sure.
All right. Do you read Tank Girl at all?
Actually, I have read Tank Girl. I actually have a thing I want to say about Tank Girl. Well, go ahead, Josh.
All right. I got done finally reading the omnibus over the weekend, The Power of Tank Girl. It's got a lot of like good long stories, and some of them are like 3 or 4 part stories, and then they have little mini stories in between them. Some of the artwork is really good. Some of it just looks like sketches done by a 5-year-old, honestly, which is, kind of put me off on it a little bit. But the paper quality on it is good, thick-cut paper. You don't have to worry about, pages sticking together. So I love that part of it.
Yeah, it was only one
guy. It was one guy writing and drawing everything.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think they should.
Well, it had 3 names on the bottom of the book. So
because he had an inker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they should redo the Tank Girl movie with Lady Gaga as the lead.
I would maybe watch that.
I would watch the hell out of that.
I
just rewatched that movie the other
day. It's good. Laura Petty?
Yeah.
She's going to be in this season of Orange is the New Black. She had a cameo in the last season.
Yeah, I know that.
She's going to be all in it. And if you remember, Piper screwed her over when they were in Chicago. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
I love Orange is the New Black.
I love Netflix. Well,
no, I will say this, though.
I
don't want to leave my home.
I will say this, though. The Power of Tank Girl book.
Yeah.
For the money you pay for it, it is a big book. It gives you a lot of reading time.
Heck yeah.
Now,
I've been a fan of Tank Girl, mostly because of the movie, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've checked it out. It's good.
I was a big fan because of the art.
It's fun.
Bear in mind, I never read any of the books before the movie came out.
It's a fun Cold War commentary.
Yes.
Well, and post-apocalyptic.
As most of that stuff. Well, post-apocalyptic after the Cold War.
Well, yeah.
But it does refer to a lot of the mistakes that we made during the Cold War that led to where Tank Girl was.
And it's in Australia. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cool book.
Well, that's the thing. That's cool. Australians have a different outlook. They're just down there not hurting anybody. Like, damn it, this World War III is going to mess up our beaches.
What do you think of the artist now?
I don't remember.
He draws the gorillas.
Dayglow or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember. He's got a new job, too.
Yeah.
You're talking about the band. Gorillaz.
Yes, he draws the gorillas. That's the guy who draws them.
Well, you know, they're going back on tour. They have a new album coming out.
Yes.
That dude is going to go to every show and do an original piece of artwork at every Gorillaz concert, and then they're going to auction it off at every concert for charity.
That's cool. That's really neat.
And he's going to do it during the show. Live.
Cool.
It's really cool.
Well, if he paints it during the show, then if they take that sound effect piece of equipment, they can run it across the grains of the paint and actually get sound waves out of the paint.
What?
They've actually done that.
That's magic.
Where they've taken
get your sorcery out of here, wizard. Black
science.
They've actually figured that they could do that because clay pots. People were having to mold them by hand,
and they hear voices.
In the grain.
Last week's issue was really good. Black science.
Let's talk about last week's comics. What did everybody read last week that was great?
Black science.
I didn't read Black
Saga.
Science.
I read last week.
I'm an issue or few or 4 or 5.
Oh, you know what was a really good issue, and it's the best issue I've read in a long time for that series. Was Avengers World last week.
I dropped
touched
Avengers
on the
World.
Cabal
and how
they're
got
doing
together.
In the Ultimate Universe.
Oh,
they talk about how every conquered universe, Namor would find Susan Storm. And every time he found her, she was always with Reed. He never found an alternate universe where she ended up with Namor. But she dates Namor in every alternate universe, and it breaks his heart every time.
What?
Dude, it's an awesome issue.
That sounds awesome,
It's an awesome issue.
Is it still Nick Spencer writing that?
No, Frank Barbary.
Oh, okay. He's okay.
He's good.
He's good.
I like him.
Wait, so his universe is the only one worse?
No, there's no universe where she chooses Namor. There's no universe
where she chooses Namor.
Oh, okay.
It was an awesome,
it's
sad
so heartbreaking.
Moment. Yeah, he just sits, like, they go to this alternate universe where...
Everything's the same, but
no,
different.
No, everything's medieval.
Okay, and like a 1602 sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Richards rule, and he sits on Reed's throne, and he just killed Reed, because he always kills Reed first. That's the first thing they ever
does. That's awesome!
In every alternate universe, the Cabal kills.
All right, the Cabal what is a government-sanctioned group.
Yes.
That goes to these...
Supervillains.
Of supervillains.
Of course it's government-sanctioned.
Well, they go to these incurring universes. There's been these incursions where one universe... Yeah. Reaches another universe. Yes.
So like Sliders?
And, well, no. Both universes blow up.
Yes.
Unless
you destroy one.
Unless you destroy one of the Earths. The Earth is the keystone for these. That's where the incursions happen. Okay. At a point where the two Earths meet.
Yes.
So he's saying whenever Namor, who is part of this Cabal, goes to these other Earths...
He kills
Reed Richards first before destroying the rest of the planet.
He finds out in every alternate version.
So he's killed like 20 or 30 Reeds.
He's killed like 50
That's
Reeds.
That's awesome. That is so fun.
Because he finds out Susan Storm never ends up with Namor in every version of reality.
I would probably do that too. If I was part of the Cabal I had to kill
somebody, kill
all
the
these
guy
planets,
I hate the
most. I would find out Larry first. Yeah. I'd go, Larry, you're dead first.
But really, you'd be doing them a favor.
Yeah, it really is doing them a favor.
Well, just like,
I mean,
but he's doing it for revenge, though.
As you're gasping his bits of oxygen,
get
sucked
away
into the nothingness of a destroyed
planet. In all fairness, I thought it was a really good parallel to every Reed Richards in the Hall of Reeds.
Yeah.
Killed every Doom.
Yeah.
I was like,
Except one.
Yeah. One of them didn't kill Doom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is Reed Richards.
Yes.
All right.
One of them was Doom.
Oh, yes. He took
And also,
brain.
A lot of the Reeds anywhere are just, like, complete assholes. Like, ours
no, all the Reeds are a-holes.
Which is, surprisingly, somehow ours is the least a-hole.
Dude, that's what I was about to say.
But
our Reed is such a big douchebag, but he's, like, the least
douchebag of all the Reeds.
According to that Hickman story and the Ultimates, our Reed is the only one who chose family.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah.
None of them chose to have a family.
Yeah, and they all kind of, like, look at him, they're like...
Yeah, you had kids.
They felt some... Those Reeds felt like
their
responsibility
was more important.
They had a responsibility to their work, and they're right in a way.
Speaking of alternate histories, there's a funny video I watched done by the Whitest Kids Unite.
Oh, I love those guys.
Kitty history.
Like cats?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Just watch it. That's all.
Okay, kitty history.
Civil War.
Now, is this on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's all right. So just type in kitty history to the search bar.
Kitty history.
All right.
Oh, yes. That show. I haven't watched that show in a long
time.
That's
so
funny.
Now, Canadians.
But,
it's kids in the hall.
They're so funny.
Kids my age.
They're so funny.
They are really
cool. The kids in the hall.
New book.
Yeah.
All right.
New
now,
book.
It's been out for a while, but it's new to me since it's the first time I've read it.
Well, that doesn't count.
Well, fine. Whatever. No.
What book?
All
what
right.
Book?
It was the Red Lantern Corps. Trade paperback number one, Blood and Rage.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought the artwork was really great.
It starts off great, but later on they get a little bit convoluted.
Don't ruin it for me because I want to. Well, I just want to read all of it.
I didn't do it. Blame Jeff Johns. Yeah. He's the one who did it.
Well, look, I may like it. Okay,
yeah, no, it's okay.
But,
did you read that Rebirth? You didn't read that yet?
No,
that's cool.
That's a good one.
Wait, Green Lantern?
Rebirth. No, the Rebirth. The one with Joshua Williamson.
Oh, that's a good book. You know what else is a great book that came out last week?
He's a kid and he leaves when he's...
Oh, no.
What's Jeff Lemire's new book?
Descender.
Was awesome.
It was okay.
It was cool looking. Dustin Nguyen's got a great
Dustin
art
Nguyen's
style.
Dustin art is amazing, although it seemed like it was missing some panels. It seemed like it was missing some panels.
What?
Yeah.
His name.
Oh, yeah. Wing. But it sounds like Dustin
Nguyen. Niggle wiggle wiggle wing. That's what his
Dustin
name
Nguyen.
Looks like it sounds like.
It's cool because... Wiggle wiggle wing. If you enjoy Trillium as much as I do,
I didn't feel it was like Trillium.
No, it's not. But it's always nice to see Jeff Lemire go back to sci-fi.
Oh, definitely.
Because I know he'll tell a really good.
It seems like he's telling a really epic story, and it's difficult to communicate that in one issue.
It is.
The art was good, although, like I said, I think it felt like there were panels missing, like. they introduce the kid, and then the little kid's little robot comes, mm-hmm. and then boom, he's automatically like inserted into the robot with his mechanical stuff. They didn't show how that happened.
Want to see that.
Yeah. I want to see how that kid's got that stuff, not just that he has it.
Yeah,
and it was more than that. There were other panels.
It's going to be a cool tale.
Conceptually, it's really good. Yeah. Jeff Lemire always has high concepts.
He had a hot hand in a dice game last week because All New Hawkeye was awesome.
All New Hawkeye was good for the art. I'm not sure if I'm enjoying the story that he's telling in All New Hawkeye going back and forth to his youth.
I think it's
just because he's talking about child abuse in one panel and then him and the other Hawkeye, the girl. Yeah, they're having like this grand old time running from Hydra. It seemed weird.
I think they did a good job of filling in the gaps of who Hawkeye.
I don't know if I wanted those gaps filled in because he was abused as a child.
Yes, and he joined the circus.
It's weird, dude.
But you know what?
That's a Marvel story, right?
But why do they have to tell that half of the story alongside of the comedic half of them having a good time?
It's the tragic clown. Hawkeye is the tragic clown. He's telling
If that's the way he's painting him, I'm not going to be on very long.
Oh, I am.
If that's the way he's going to characterize him as the happy clown, I'm not going to be on there.
Because
Matt Fraction, he didn't seem like a happy clown. He seemed just like a regular Joe who happened to be really good with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
That's what I want. The regular Joe who just happens to be good with a bow and arrow. If that's not what Jeff Lemire's going to do, I'm not going to stay on the book.
He'll get to that. I think in this opening issue, I've
never understood that. Oh, if no one left me, he'll get to that. Why not start with that if that's where he's going?
Because it's a good yin and yang for a first issue.
I don't think so. Oh, it definitely was yin and yang, but I don't think you should be telling jokes next to the same panel where a kid got punched in the face by his foster dad. It seemed weird to me.
But do you want to read 20 pages of some kid getting the crap beat out of
him? I don't want to read one page of it if it has nothing to do with the story. They're trying to say, oh, look how shitty Hawkeye's, past used to be, and now he's going to join the circus. What kid joins the circus? It doesn't have a blast.
But in all fairness, Hawkeye's not the one that gets
child abuse.
What?
It's the other kid.
His
brother.
Yeah.
Trickshot.
Mark's coming over.
I just don't.
Okay.
It seemed odd to me. But
Jeff Lemire said prior to
it was still my favorite book of the week.
It was a great book.
As much shit as I'm talking on it, I know.
In his story, he wants to tell the story of the Hawkeye. He's not going to just tell the story of Clint. He wants to tell Clint's story. He wants to tell
Kate's
story and Kate's story.
I wanted Kate's story. All I got was Clint's story.
And that's the first issue. He was the original. You tell the Clint story first.
If he wants to tell a story from three points of view, he should tell a story from three points of view. Not from two points of view and then from two different points of view. And then the next chapter, maybe two different points of view again.
No.
I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt just because he's Jeff freaking Lemire. It was a good book. It was drawn beautifully. Beautifully. The design choices they made, the panel placements, beautiful. The story he's telling, it was well told. I just don't know if I like it.
No,
I haven't read it, so I can't really.
You should read it.
That Rebirth book that you recommended to me, it's on my to-read list.
Yeah.
I'll probably start reading it sometime, either this weekend or next week.
Check
that
out. Joshua Williamson, that is a really good book.
Yeah.
Rebirth.
By the way, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., did y'all watch it?
You know, I'm behind on my TV because my old lady's got a busted wing, and we hadn't been watching much TV.
Okay.
But yeah, tonight is my night for Gotham and Agents. And is Flashback this
Gotham's
week?
Not.
No.
Oh, Gotham wasn't on last week?
No, they played.
Oh, good. Hell yeah.
Yeah, Flash. Okay,
I had missed nothing except S.H.I.E.L.D. then.
They just announced Jada Pinkett Smith will not be returning for a
season. Jada Pinkett Smith announced that, and it was weird because I watch Regis Michael and Kelly every morning. And I'm sitting there.
They're a good pair, okay?
They
good
really
pair.
Are good. And I'm
they're
sitting there
pair.
Doing, you know,
they
stuff
about
in the morning.
They talk about Broad City this morning. Awesome.
Getting all the news up.
I like Broad
and I'm like,
City.
Oh, wow. Jada Pinkett Smith said she's not going to go back to Gotham. Never occurred to me that I just witnessed breaking news that I should be probably putting that on my website. But, yeah. It was a rough week, guys.
Yeah, yeah, you're just like, doop, doop,
she's
doop.
Easily the best character on there, the most compelling character. Mm-hmm. The thing of why she's so compelling is we know where Penguin's going to be. We know where Riddler ends up. We know where Alfred and Bruce and Commissioner Gordon is not commissioning it. We know where they're going to end up. Fish is compelling because we have no idea. She's a mystery, a true mystery to every kind of fanboy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's going to suck if she leaves. Well, she's a good actress, too.
Flash was a rerun this week, so you don't have to worry
about
that.
Good.
But, I mean, the way they're kind of writing her character, it's, I mean...
What?
What?
Don't worry about it. But, all right, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they brought in Jamie Alexander, who plays Lady Sif in the Thor movies.
Yeah, she's been on the show before.
Like, it was kind of a really cool episode because they kind of expounded more about the...
Inhumans.
The Inhumans. What's that thing called? The Diviner Stones?
The Infinity Gems?
But the thing that they put in the little... thing that turns Sky into an inhuman and
the Terrigen Mist, the
Terrigen Mist,
gems.
Yeah, well,
crystals.
Well, Eddie McClintock, who was on Warehouse 13, he comes and does a cameo role as one of the Kree.
Yeah,
that's disguised.
Yeah,
and
you're spoiling this week's episode.
Sorry,
for me?
Sorry.
No, that's cool. Go ahead.
I was just saying that he's he comes
yeah,
on the
they,
show.
I heard that they did introduce the Kree.
Yeah, so he expounds
the Blue Man.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say everything. He expounds on why he's here and why him and Sif were fighting and I'll just leave it at that. But
awesome.
I think you might like it. So
yeah, I've been enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, I've been talking smack on it since the Inhumans got there. Like, where the hell did you think it was going? Yeah. The Inhumans have been coming since
since we saw the first Kree guy.
Well, here's the thing, though.
They're making a movie.
Well, the ending.
I'm hoping for Kree Skrull War at some point.
Well, the ending of this episode.
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, the Inhumans, War.
They're building that way.
They're building. They've been building to Kree Skrull War for a minute.
Let's talk about the new Avengers trailer. You want to talk about that?
Vision.
They showed Vision, and did you see the soul gem in his head?
Yeah, I'm excited.
I haven't seen the trailer, so.
It looks pretty good.
Vision looks cool. Vision is a character, if done right, can be a very, very good asset.
Joss Whedon said he almost killed him.
Vision? Don't kill Vision.
No, he said, Joss Whedon said that Vision almost killed him as a creator and dealing with a character.
He's a tough character.
He is. He's
weird.
He
was a hard character to pull off.
Rick Remender ain't doing it.
Yeah. No.
It's terrible right now. No. Vision. Yeah, because he's skipping around. He's like dancing around Vision. He's not really getting to Vision in the new or Uncanny Avengers book.
Well, Vision's really great when you work with Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Yeah, and
that's one of the best parts of
Vision. Actually,
Kurt Busiek's
run favorite Avengers
is Vision trying to delete his emotions
because of
Scarlet Witch, because of his ex-wife and him being on a team.
Yeah.
Well, what I don't understand is why they don't bring back Falcon, because after he,
onto what?
Onto the new Avengers movie.
Oh, he's in Captain America.
Well, I know he's in Captain America, but because he was in the Winter Soldier, I don't know why they don't bring him in for the second Avengers movie.
They are.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. He's in the trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer.
You haven't seen any of the trailer?
No, I saw the very original trailer.
He's in that trailer.
I never saw it.
He's
at the party.
Yeah, he's at the party.
I never saw him.
He's there, dude.
Yes. All right, my bad.
You may not have seen this trailer.
Yeah.
He plays a pretty good part. I think he actually talks in the trailer.
Okay, well.
The reason, though, I'm excited about Vision in the movie is you have Scarlet Witch. And
do you really think they're going to go there?
It would be awesome with Quicksilver.
It would be, but there's time.
Well, they already showed the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver at the end of that movie.
We know they're going to be there. We're talking about is Vision and the Scarlet Witch going to have a relationship
in the film?
Okay.
You know why?
And I would like to see that.
Because you see Ultron with Vision, with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. Who's to say they don't meet Vision with Ultron
before
they meet the rest of the Avengers?
All right, well, here's my question. If they're bringing in the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver
Voltron.
No, that's what I was wanting to know.
No, they're
seriously?
Yeah, because I thought they were going to start trying to merge the X-Men and...
Hey, man. Oh, Quicksilver and Crystal are going to have a thing
X-Men
anyway.
X-Men makes too much money.
I know, but here's the thing, though. They have done series...
So Marvel isn't using the word mutant.
Well, they have done series where Captain America and Logan are... working together back during World War II.
Yes, and what?
They won't do it.
In the comic books?
Yeah, in the comics.
Well, I don't know about the comics, but they did it in the cartoon series.
Oh, yeah, that's
different. They can do that in cartoons. That's different. They can share...
They have license for feature film rights to the character.
Okay.
They still have Wolverine and the X-Men on TV.
Yes.
And that's a
Marvel
thing.
That's why you
can
see Wolverine in that Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah.
Because they only own the film rights.
They only own the film rights. Disney retains all the other.
All the cartoons.
So they're never going to bring Spider-Man into the Avengers?
They are.
Oh, my goodness. if you ever want to be up to date on comic books, you should check out this website called OutrightGeekery.com. We post all this news. All right,
Gollum, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Spider-Man will... podcast. Yes. Of the Square Table.
Where we talk
about that.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Well, that was a couple weeks ago. Yes. I have so much I have so much shit going on. I can't remember everything.
Spider-Man is going to be in the Marvel.
All right.
He's probably going to have a cameo in Civil War.
Yes.
You will have his own movie by the end of next year.
It was a few weeks ago. No, I don't remember. I can't remember every little thing.
It makes perfect sense.
I have not smoked for weeks, if not months. Okay? That's the reason why I'm having memory issues.
Scarlet?
Yes.
What?
I'm saying they're going to be spider clones.
No, I'm not saying they're not in the movie. They're not doing
I'm saying
clone
the Kree are going to clone Spider-Man.
That would actually be cool.
It would be awesome. That would be the best way to do the clone saga with the Kree. You will.
But no, that's not going to happen. Yeah. No.
Yes. No, Spider-Man's going to be a Kree experiment.
I think what's going to happen, I think what everybody is missing about the Spider-Man Marvel deal is that Sony is still going to be making movies within the Spider Universe.
Yes.
So what that means is the Spider Universe is now part of the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. which means Sony is making movies within the Marvel Universe. Whoever doesn't think that's a bad thing hasn't thought it through, because we're going to get a Secret Six, or not Secret Six, Sinister Six.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to get. I was waiting for you to catch me.
They're going to be officially. Part of the Marvel.
If they do a Sinister Six movie, they're going to mention Spidey. Mm-hmm. And even if not,
if it's like
it opens up the opportunity
for
there to be bullshit down the road. Well, and Marvel should not allow any of that bullshit to come in just because they want Spider-Man.
Marvel already lets enough stuff shit on their trademark.
Yeah, he's dropped.
Dylan O'Brien is on a big kick of trying to become Peter Parker.
So I feel like if they did anything, if Marvel did something with Spidey in a movie, they could just claim that the Sony stuff's a different universe.
Now, I'm still wondering if they're ever going to bring back the Punisher.
It's hard for them to claim that it's the Punisher coming into the Marvel universe in the movies.
He'll come into the Netflix universe, which is what
we don't know yet.
But they've said he will never.
All right. Well, look, if they do bring back the Punisher and they put him into the Avengers movies, I'm just saying if they do, I want Thomas Jane to come in because I know, but he was a great Punisher.
Yeah, he was. It just won't happen.
Yeah, they've said. All the street level characters will pretty much get Netflix.
Wolverine, Hugh Jackman used to be a good Wolverine. Doesn't mean that he should still be Wolverine, but he is. He used to be an okay Wolverine.
Yeah,
a little tall for my Wolverine.
Way too tall for mine.
Yeah, how tall is he?
6'2".
Yeah, exactly.
And Wolverine's supposed to be my
5'9".
I thought you were like 5'7".
No, he's taller than 5'9". What a dick. He's taller than 5'9". 5'9". Oh, are you? I thought you were taller than 5'9".
Wolverine and I share the same height.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with
you. Well, he's got taller hair than you.
Yeah, he does. Actually, he's probably shorter than me if I think about it. That hair is like 2 inches tall.
And plus, he never wears sneakers. He's always wearing boots with big, with big... heels.
That's
okay. Jules is wearing heels too.
Yeah, he's got lifts. He's got lifts in his shoes.
Yeah. High heels. Yeah, I had a couple.
But yeah, there's another announcement we can segue into. Wolverine 3 has been announced. It's going to start filming next year. And Hugh Jackman is back.
Chris Pine is in talk with DC about becoming Green Lantern.
And
Abrams movie.
They got Rick Flagg for the Suicide Squad. It's that Kinnaman dude who played RoboCop.
Yeah,
he should be okay
because Tom Hardy dropped.
Because Tom Hardy said the script sucked.
Yeah. All right, now is Chris Pine? Is he going to be playing Hal Jordan, or is he going to be playing Guy Gardner, or the other one?
It'll probably be.
Who's the other?
I heard a rumor that Channing Tatum is associated with a.
It's official.
A Ghostbusters movie. They want Chris Pratt.
Going to be an all male and an all female.
There's going to be two.
So there's going to be a Ghostbusters 3 proper, and then there's going to be a Ghostbusters.
Neither of them are Ghostbusters.
They're both going to be reboots.
Females.
So they're having one is all male, one is all female, or they.
After what's his name passed, they said they won't do a Ghostbusters 3.
That's good.
They were going to, though.
Yeah.
And then they said no.
Harold Ramis.
Yeah, Harold Ramis. Okay.
After Harold Ramis passed away, they said no.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I am too.
There's nothing nothing's going to spoil the first Ghostbusters movie.
It would have happened a lot earlier.
Or the second.
The second one should have ruined the first one. All right.
If he would have ran out of money a little sooner, yeah. there would have been a Ghostbusters 3.
The second Ghostbusters movie was terrible.
I liked it.
With the walking Statue of Liberty? Seriously?
I still like that. We can argue this all day. I still like that. I thought it was cool.
I think it was super cheesy, but I enjoyed it. Granted, the jello mold, the rivers of slime.
All right, wait. Granted, if I go back and watch it now, I probably won't like it as much. But back then, when I watched it, I liked it. So,
but if you go back and watch the first Ghostbusters, it stands up tremendously.
It always will.
I do love Ernie Hudson, though.
Everybody loves Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
The thing about that is, everyone does love Raymond. Ernie Hudson's best role was on The Crow, not in.
You mean Oz?
No, he was not good in Oz.
What are you talking about?
He was okay in Oz. Nobody was good in Oz. That's a terrible, terrible show.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's a terrible show.
Have you watched Oz?
The only
Bill Paranel?
The only
even I have
the only thing I will watch with prison sex in it is the Shawshank Redemption, and I have to turn my head.
You know, I came not here for Shawshank.
What?
What?
This podcast is over!
Man, someone stab him.
But yeah, I didn't like the Ghostbusters 2. If Ghostbusters 2 didn't ruin the first Ghostbusters movie, Channing Tatum
can't. We've now found your Blade Runner.
Yes.
Actually, I will say, like, from a long standpoint, Blade Runner is more sacrilege than Shawshank.
I like Shawshank.
But Shawshank's a great
movie. Shawshank is a great prison movie.
As a film buff, I think Shawshank is amazingly well written and well done.
One of the best movies.
Poignant character piece.
Yes.
Not to mention the narration by Morgan Freeman is awesome.
If I want Stephen King in a prison, I'll read Green Mile again.
Oh, that was a bad movie. That was Green Mile was shit. I like Green Mile. Tom Hanks' worst movie.
Oh, whatever. Castaway was.
Castaway? Are you serious? What a job!
If you don't like Castaway, you don't like Tom Hanks.
No.
Period. Look, that's a great point.
Look, I like Castaway a little bit. Was it the end-all, be-all best movie he's ever done? Absolutely not.
No. But Green Mile isn't either.
Well, I thought Green Mile was awesome.
Joe versus the Volcano is better than the Green Mile.
Whatever. Whatever.
Joe versus the Volcano is brilliant. It's a brilliant movie about the human condition.
Rewind and listen to what I said. I'd read The Green Mile. Yes. I said nothing about watching that awful
that's,
film.
That's a turd.
What do you mean? It's a book?
Yeah, they wrote a book? They made a book out of that movie?
It's a really good book. It is a really well-written book.
The novelization.
Yes. Actually, Shawshank Redemption was a short story, guys.
Yes.
And it's just an okay short story.
I mean, they did cram 20 years into an hour and a half.
Series of novellas.
I think he's right. I think Green Mile is a series of shorter stories about
everybody on that prison.
Yeah.
Yes. It's still better than the small short story that is Shawshank Redemption.
No, and bear in mind,
I thought it was just okay.
Yeah.
It's in a weird collection called Night Shift. And everything was
the rats in there, the Quitters Inc.
Yes.
In there when they quit smoking. Excellent stories, dude.
A lot of his short stories make really good movies. Because you can get all of the story in a two-hour movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like most Stephen King where you read eight chapters. It's like, dude, ain't nothing happening in this.
Yeah.
It is just a small Bible.
Now,
it takes so long to read.
Jules, bear in mind, The Shawshank Redemption crams 20 years worth of stuff into an hour and a half, and they just catch the highlights of the whole situation.
Yeah, and it did win,
a lot of awards.
I'd like to say Andy Dufresne made the good fight, but
I'm sorry.
He ran away.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's very...
And got away with a boatload of money.
Yeah.
It's very insistent. It's a very insistent story. The narration it's a really
good... It insists that you pay attention to its awesome commentary, Jules. Yes, it insists that you watch because it's good.
All I can say is at least somebody dies in that movie. It's killed by actually somebody who's supposed to be a killer.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
It's a Blade Runner badge right there. It's a Blade Runner badge.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, there's a lot of good Tom Hanks movies and not very many bad ones. But Green Mile is certainly one that is not.
And
all I'm saying is Shawshank Redemption is a pill to swallow.
I did not like it.
I found about Tom Hanks, there's apparently a hardcore band now at this point that goes by X Tom, H A N X.
Oh, nice.
Tom, X Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Just on the Tom Hanks note, just thought that. Wow.
I don't think they should do Toy Story 4.
And Toy Story 4 is not going to be in. It's not going to be a direct sequel, and this may not even be called Toy Story 4.
That's like a.
The news
title.
Is that they know that they're working on the fourth Toy Story full length feature film.
I don't know why that series should have just died after the first movie. Hell, it should have died. It should have died after the first one.
Two and three are the best.
The Toy Story movie.
Yeah.
Two and
three. Yeah,
it's easily the best movie trilogy ever.
Whatever.
Easily.
No, I would put it in my top five trilogies. I would put Toy Story
trilogy
in my top five.
Easily.
But the Toy Story 4, the fourth film in the Toy Story, isn't going to have anything to do with Woody or Buzz or any of them. And it's really a good opportunity for Marvel and Disney to do something like the Lego. Yeah, like the Lego movie did. They can bring in all of these characters and really have it be something special like the Lego movie was.
The Lego movie was something special.
Hopefully that's what they do.
Me and
that's blasphemous that you don't like the Toy Story movie. I cry every time I watch the Toy Story. Do you watch Big Hero 6?
Yes.
I wept really like a baby got
so
punched
good.
In the face
so
at the
good.
End of that movie. The last
15, maybe that got punched.
The last 15 that's minutes of that movie is a roller coaster ride of emotion.
Big Hero 6 is a great example of what I hope Marvel and Disney do more together.
Dude, it was the last 15-20 minutes of that is a roller coaster ride of emotion. You're not sure where you're at the end. Your insides feel
are you on a
like,
glass cage?
I'm in a glass cage of emotion.
Hello. It's a really good movie.
It's amazing.
I just like it just because it's a good movie.
It deserved the Academy Award it won.
It did.
It really
it
did.
Did deserve
it deserved
it.
That Academy.
Cool. Larry wants to wrap.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up.
We should have wrapped about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, right. Nope.
Okay.
Blade Runner's great, actually.
Okay.
Screw you, Larry.
I don't know. I mentioned it earlier, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. The first season's on Netflix. It's a Tina Fey thing. It's really good. Check it out. I might review it for the website. I don't know.
I have nothing.
Good, Josh. After shitting on Toy Story the way you did, I don't think I've ever heard anything like that.
All right, fine. Toy Story sucks. There.
It is a brilliant movie. All right,
where this
comes
from? Joss Whedon, man. Joss Whedon. You know that. He wrote it.
And I don't care. I still don't like that movie series. Brilliant. Every single time they came out with another one, I hated it even more. I was like, please just go away and die.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, that's just, that hurts.
I still think my toys talk. When
no, none of us care about Shawshank Redemption near as much.
Yeah,
care
Toy
about
Story, right? Right.
I mean, the first one I can swallow. All the right. Other two, right. No.
Say no to hallucinogens.
Say no.
Okay.
Say
no. Are you talking LSD 25?
You're watching Requiem for a Dream.
Or Natural Born Killer.
Now, are you talking? Are you talking old school LSD 25, or are you talking modern day acid? Because there's a difference.
Too much NBK, man. NBK. Okay.
Final thought. Good night, Elaine. Shawshank Redemption sucks.
But Natural Born Killer.
Natural Born Killer is incredible.
Easily the best love story ever put on film.
I've heard that before.
And, easily. And one of the best soundtracks.
Oh, good soundtrack. But easily the best love story ever put on film. When they embrace in the prison with Robert Downey Jr. in the back, you know, going crazy, it's a moment. It is a moment.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. I love that movie.
You don't get a pass on your Toy Story shit.
get out of here.
Interesting side note. John Oliver did a piece talking about the Nazi origin of Fanta Cola.
Yes, I saw that. That was funny.
Starting next month, HBO Now is going to be available to all Apple users.
You mean HBO?
Just
Go?
Apple
no,
users.
No, it's a new app for people without HBO subscriptions.
So it's HBO Now.
It's called HBO Now. It's only available if you have Apple TV, iPad, iPhone.
Now, are you going to have to pay for it?
Or a Mac. What?
Are you going to have to pay for it?
$14.99 is cheaper than an HBO subscription.
Well, of course.
It's still more than a Netflix subscription.
No, but bear in mind, any past episodes of like Newsroom or John Oliver or Bill Maher, you can watch that on YouTube for free.
Yes, but no, that's not why people are getting this. People are going to get this because
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yep.
That's all you need, Game of Thrones. Nobody's getting this just because of girls, dude. I've seen that show. No one is going to pay $15 a month.
Jules,
just to watch girls.
Hold on. Shut up.
First off,
very in touch with his feminine side.
It's a good show. It's a great show. But no one's getting it just for that show.
I know four people. You can suck it.
No one's a great show that has the word.
Four in my immediate circle.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. I really did.
I watched the first couple seasons of that.
It's a really good show.
It was weird how they took that one black guy off and then put him back on. Like the Wayne's kid, the younger Wayne's kid. I didn't understand that.
New Girl?
The New Girl.
Well,
yeah.
He was in the first season for six episodes.
He went to that show Happy Endings.
Coach.
And then he left.
So
he goes,
so
he's like, Happy Endings was going to pay out.
And it got canceled.
And then he came back to New Girl. Different network.
He thought New Girl was going to get canceled.
Yes. So he was Happy Endings.
I didn't think he was.
Happy Endings was all right.
It was hilarious.
It was.
And then it got canceled because it was too smart for CBS. Right? CBS?
It was NBC.
NBC?
CBS doesn't cancel anything. Everything wins on there.
Because it's CBS. It's old people. Big Bang Theory. What a. You know, it got pitched to every network before it ended up on CBS.
Yeah, it was the last ditch effort.
Yeah, and it's the most popular comedy on television.
Yeah, that's which is funny.
They got the second most popular one too, with the three men or two and a half men.